You're listening to The Other Connor Podcast, a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Here's your host, Connor Halley.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of The Other Connor Podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name, as per usual, Connor Halley. Make sure to give me a follow on Twitter, at Connor Halley. And we're coming to you a day late because I figured I probably shouldn't do a show on Tuesday when the Oilers play that night. It would be dated very quickly. Instead, we postpone until Wednesday, coming off the Oilers' victory out in Vancouver. Connor McDavid, the overtime winner, his first goal in the 2022 calendar year. Took a little while, but he's on the board, of course. Over the weekend, the Oilers picking up the big win, hosting the Calgary Flames 5-3. Leon Draisaitl had the winner in that one. The Oilers' next action coming on Thursday when they'll host the Nashville Predators. We're going to talk about that and more with our first guest of this show today. And we might not have a second guest. I'm not sure, Matt. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I might see if Jeff walks by, if he wants to hop in here. But the Matt I'm referring to, Matthew Wanick of TSN 1260, you can hear him on the Dave Jameson Show, Monday through Friday from noon till 2. You can also get him on the Talkin' Sock podcast. And Canadian soccer right now, booming, as Antonio Brown would say. Potentially a future Baltimore Raven,
no,
Matthew.
No,
potentially.
No, we're not going into that part. No. But big for Canada
big
soccer.
For Canada.
Big for Canada soccer. Big window.
We will talk about that maybe after the Oilers, because that's pretty important. And Edmonton-based podcast, you got Alphonso Davies, who won't play. But the games were here in November. They were awesome. You and I were there. So we'll mention that later on in the show. But why don't we go back to Saturday night, Matthew? The Edmonton Oilers struggling going into that one. Mm-hmm. Battle of Alberta, game they really needed to win. Drop down 2-0. They would get back into it on the power play. Evan Bouchard with a couple goals. What did you think about that game and just the importance of it looking back at it now?
Well, one, the importance is big because a loss to the Flames that night, and we probably are having a coaching change on the Sunday or the Monday. Like, you lose your division provincial rival after having lost 13 of 15 games. There was a point where, at that point, even though Ken Holland wanted to go with patience, believed everything is in the room, you gotta make that change. And getting down 2-0 after the first, you're going, oh boy, like, here it is. This is how it's gonna end. But one thing we saw from the Oilers in that game, and when we get to the Canucks game, same type of thing, we saw it earlier this year. This is a team that has in the past, at the start of the season when they were winning hockey games, they know how to come back from behind. They know how to be trailing and not allow it to affect them so much and come out and find a way to win because they know how they have those weapons. And for whatever reason, in that big losing skid where they only won those two games, they couldn't figure that out. They just weren't believing themselves. They didn't have that, you know, mentally they weren't there. They were just a fragile group. Whatever it was, they couldn't find a way to start clawing back from those comebacks. So that was a big one in the sense that they came out on a game where if it doesn't go well and they were already down 2-0, if those final 40 don't go the way that, you know, they wanted, there's significant things happening to that Edmonton Oilers room. And they instead responded and they came out and they found a way to get the victory on home ice against their provincial rival and to just get a little bit of breathing room. Just to be able to breathe slightly from everything that was going on, because the prior 2.5 weeks were something else. They played one game. We saw everything that happened between Jim Matheson and Leon Draisaitl. And that just goes to, I think, the frustration, just everything that was around that team, that it just finally bubbled publicly in a way like that. And, so for them, that was an important win on Saturday.
Mikko Koskinen was a guy, I mean, a lot of people have been critical of this season and deservedly so. He's done what he's done in the past and had the occasional soft goal. But, I mean, you go back to Saturday and going into that third period, he kept them in the game. The game on Tuesday night against the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, he did enough. He was big in the overtime period. When it comes to Mikko Koskinen, and you know, we'll see what happens with Mike Smith. You know, he's been placed on LTIR. And Stuart Skinner with, you know, what's going on with him. Do you believe that Mikko Koskinen can be good enough to get this team or keep them in the playoff hunt? Or do you have to go Stuart Skinner?
You're going to need Stuart Skinner to a degree, because we know that Mikko Koskinen, when you overwork him, he struggles. That's when the biggest struggles start coming. And just by the way, on that game against the Canucks, like a couple goals I know he'll get ripped on or something. Mm-hmm. But he made that big save on McDavid's turnover on the power play.
Yeah.
And he stopped a second penalty kill goal, you know, going in. And that could have been the game. But instead, it kept the Oilers going. And I think then the team, you know, we talk about how they fall apart when Mikko Koskinen gives up that bad early goal. I think there they responded well because Mikko saved them. And he saved not just any player. He saved Connor McDavid in that case. And I think that really, you know, elevated that team. Koskinen has shown in the past he is an NHL goalie. Is he a number one starter? No. And so he can go out there and he's going to give you a chance to win on many nights. But you then have to come out and you're going to have to score goals. You know, you're not winning hockey games 1-0, 2-1 or something with Mikko Koskinen. Then you're going to need 4 or 5 goals generally, maybe 3 depending on where Koskinen is in that game. But you're going to need also Stuart Skinner because, as I just, you know, said at the start, Koskinen can't be overworked. That's when he really falters. And two, you know, Stuart Skinner is going to be the future of this team. And we've seen him play this year rather well. We've seen him play at times this year better than Mikko Koskinen. And you're going to need to mix the two because you cannot bank on Mike Smith coming back. Like, even if he comes back, you don't know if he's going to stay healthy. Twice this year he's gone down. This is the third issue. And on top of it, it's a torn thumb. Like, I don't know how you know, really? A torn thumb out of nowhere. I've never heard of a torn thumb. So I don't even know if he'll be back this season. So Koskinen's good enough, I think, to keep him somewhat afloat, but you're going to need Stuart Skinner if this is a team that I think wants to somewhat be comfortably in a playoff position.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't want to say it's shady, but it feels kind of shady when it comes to Mike Smith. Like, it's, oh, he'll be back in a couple weeks, and then there's a setback, and it's like, I don't know, we always talk about Father Time being undefeated and how eventually, you know.
Except for Tom Brady,
who, well, you know, that regiment he's on, and geez, maybe he hangs him up this year. I saw some reports about that. I didn't even consider it. I'm like, no, he's playing until he's 49. That's what he's going to do.
He's not retiring.
But like, you got him for another year with Mike Smith. Like, this could just be something that, and I know people were critical in the offseason when Ken Holland gave him the 2-year contract, but I mean, at least Mikko Koskinen was available to play throughout his time. Like, this could be a really bad deal for the Edmonton Oilers if Mike Smith can't get back on track.
See, and it's funny. Yeah, the day-to-day to start turned into months. The second day-to-day ended up being day-to-day, and then now it was, we'll take it day-by-day or something, and it seems like it's going to be quite some time for Mike Smith. So you never know. I never had an issue with the 2-year deal because I always figured year two he'd be the backup anyways.
Yeah.
And there you would have your starter that would take control, and you're only counting on Mike Smith for, what, maybe 20, 25 games? Maybe you have to push upwards of 30, depending who it is. And I think you can get that out of Mike Smith because he'd be able to stay fresher and healthy, and you're not needing him out there, that maybe he could stay available for you. And if he does get hurt, okay, you're dealing with a backup goalie at that point. You're not dealing with your starter. So I don't have an issue with his second year on that one, but that was the concern going into this season, where you have a 39-year-old goalie who's going to turn 40. While, yes, in 2000, you know, last season, it was, you know, he got hurt, but he was healthy, and after he started playing, he was great. And people want to say, he changed his workout. Doesn't matter. Your body's your body, and your body's going to start breaking down at some point. And when it breaks down, you just can't guess that. And Ken Holland took a chance and bet on Mike Smith staying healthy this year, and it was a poor bet in the end because we've seen Mike Smith go down. So as for next year, I don't think it's a terrible deal if he's still the backup. You know, if he's coming in as fighting for a starting job or still your starter because he's under contract, yeah, then it's a bad deal. But hey, like, and that's where I really want to see Stuart Skinner get play this year is, what if he can be the starter? What if you sit there this year, watch him play and go, this guy has it. After an offseason of a little more development, some more coaching, next year he could be a guy that can handle 50, 55 games or something like that. And think about the cap savings you get at that point. What would your total pay, you know, fees be, or, you know, your cap hit be if Mike Smith and Stuart Skinner are your starting goalies? It's like under 3 or something.
Yeah.
That'd be huge for 1 year. And then the year after, Duncan Keith comes off the books and things kind of really open up there, that they're in this cap hell situation once again. But if Stuart Skinner can be that guy, even if Mike Smith is your backup, you're actually in a decent spot, I think, cap wise.
Yeah.
It works out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but this year it doesn't help because Mike Smith's not going to be healthy. And when he comes back again, you just can't trust that he'll stay healthy. 3 times this season he's gotten hurt.
Of course, I mean, the money you save for Mikko Koskinen next year goes right to Darnell Nurse. And, you know, that contract, that's going to be almost impossible to live up to, you know, considering the other defensemen around the NHL that make that much money. I foresee him being a whipping boy more than he already is because...
Well, I'm already seeing the comments about, you know, his contract right now, and I keep wanting to be like, he's not under that contract yet. You can't rip him for that contract this season.
I mean, man, get the bag when you can. Secure the bag. Good for him, but it's going to be tough.
And the Oilers are in a tough spot, too, though, because do you go into a contract year with Darnell Nurse after the season he had last year where he plays himself, keeps playing himself up? Because you don't want to bet against the guy. You don't want to bet that he's going to have a bad year. Would you risk him? You know, you saw Adam Larson go and leave. Do you risk also him then going and be like, I'll go test you if it like. So I get why they went with the contract, and that's what the market was set at. of that last offseason, it just went insane for defensemen. Now, this year hasn't played as well as the year prior, but maybe he gets back to that and we'll see.
A guy who returned to the lineup, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Matt, he played 22 minutes, sorry, almost 23 minutes, I guess five of which came on the power play. When I was talking to Hernan on his podcast, Locked On Oilers, I said he was the master of none. Good at a lot of things, maybe not amazing at anything, but holy cow, I mean, his presence was, it was known out there last night. Obviously, the pass he made to Leon Draisaitl on the game-tying goal, pretty big deal. But what do you think of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and his return last night?
Great pass by him, you know, on that goal. And you're right. It's one of those things with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I love the criticism the guy gets, you know, because it's people only look at the points.
Yeah.
They look at goals and they say, he's not scoring. But it's okay. What else is he giving you, though? He's good on the PK. He contributes to the power play. You know, he's good defensively. There's a lot of other things and intangibles that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins brings your team beyond the scoring. Now, when you're being paid to be a top six player, you do have to produce points, especially 5-on-5 at some point. So that part is fair criticism of him. But everything else, he gives you a lot. And if you lose Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and I think we saw it for a little bit, the Oilers become deficient in so many other different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so him coming back in the lineup yesterday, I think there is a little bit of a difference with that team in some other areas that you've got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins who will help this team. He makes them better. Now, again, it's not something that you see easily on the stat sheet after the end of the game. But when you're watching that and you just, you know, even just seeing what the players say about him, you talk, listen to what they were saying at post after last season. He's big in the room as well. So he's important to this team. And it also doesn't surprise me he went into the top six as in his return. I know there's the practice of the third line center, but he's been on some either Leon's or Connor's wings for how many seasons now? I didn't see him coming back and starting at third line center. Connor likes to have someone next to him that, you know, is more of a veteran. And I have a feeling that they put him on that third line for practice just in case he couldn't go. So that there's in practice some familiarity between McLeod and Connor McDavid. But once he got the go ahead, it just made sense to put him on that top line.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was joking around with Hernan. He rolled into the studio a little early last night. So we were kind of talking about it. And I thought McDavid might have just been like, hey, Tip, he's not on the third line. Like, get him up here with me. And yeah, you're right. I think about him and just like any situation, the Oilers could be up. Defending a one goal lead, yeah. You want him out there. They could be down, you want him out there. It could be a tie game, you want him out there. Like, he's just, he brings so much. Maybe he's not a dynamic goal scorer or shut down defender, but he's not bad at anything. Like, he can always be out there. So.
You need those players.
Yeah, exactly. He's a crucial part of this team. And I think what you said about his leadership ability, something there, just kind of that calming presence on the bench when things go bad. Hey, it's not that bad when things go good. It's not that good. Just stay humble. What do you think about Ryan McLeod? This year he's getting more looks. The goal he scored last night, not a beauty, but it counts for all the same. What have you thought of his play this season?
He always seems to impress, doesn't he?
He does. Like, and maybe people have low standards or something.
Well, man, but this is a guy that in the end, like speaking of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, in game four of that playoff series against the Jets last year, McLeod was the second line center with Nuge on his wing.
Yeah,
that's how they started that game. Like, Dave Tippett has confidence in Ryan McLeod, and there's a reason for that. This guy is coming in, and maybe it is for some people low expectations, but he's slowly just showing that he's impressive and deserves to be in the National Hockey League. And if there's one thing we could rip on the Oilers for a lot of things, if we're going to praise them for one thing, is that they've brought this guy up, I think, properly and putting him in proper positions to succeed. And even yesterday, I think throwing him on that third line, one, you're saying we trust you to be a center. We're trusting you to run your own line here, but also not putting him in a spot where, okay, well, we're going to put you right on that top line where you have to produce because this team needs production and this team needs scoring. And we're going to put you in that pressure situation where you got to score goals. No, they're slowly bringing him up and allowing him to evolve into a better NHLer and take it game by game. So, every time you see him on the ice, he seems to be doing the right things. And someone that I think for all Oilers fans, I don't think you could be really critical of anything that you've seen from Ryan McLeod so far yet in his young career.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I mean, like I said, I didn't want to say like expectations are low, but it's a guy who, you know, comes in here and anything positive he does, Oilers fans are going to be, you know, thrilled to see it. So it was good to see that last night. Kind of was intrigued to see what might happen had he got a chance to play in the top six, but I didn't mind the line of Perlini and Cassian with him. Looking at the blue line, Matthew, Duncan Keith, a guy who obviously I'd say polarizing would be a way polarizing. To word it, because there's the off-ice stuff, there's what it got to get him here. But let's just look at on the ice for now. What have you made of his play as of late? Like, I guess he's probably been the most consistent Oilers defenseman.
He's been playing okay, I think. There's still moments that you see and you go, this guy's not Duncan Keith clearly from the past. And there's things that you watch and go, boy, like, they're paying 5.5 for that guy. But I think you nailed it with the wording. There's probably been one of their most consistent defender, and at times has shown that quote unquote leadership or experience at the very least on the ice, you know, with certain situations. So, it doesn't take away my feeling that I think Oiler fans should be praying to God that he retires after this season just because the $8 million cap swing that you get. And like, I don't care what player you almost have, like, that's $8 million that you get. But, you know, overall, yeah, he's been pretty good for this defense considering, you know, what they have on that blue line. Could it be better? Could he even be a little bit better? Absolutely. But I think for the most part, if you want to go the negative way, if you want to look at the holes of the defense or nitpick things, I don't think he's a guy you're looking at right away. I think mm-hmm. you're going through a few other players first before you get to Duncan Keith, that your word there, as I said, probably the best, most consistent recently.
Yeah. Yeah. The bar might not be the highest,
nope.
But it's also not the lowest.
Yeah.
And he's been available. He's been ready to go. The pairing of Cody Ceci with him has been, you know, I'd say consistent again, the most consistent. From the Oilers this year. Another name that I think we'll be talking about a little bit more as the week rolls on here, and maybe if you're tuning into this podcast on today's Wednesday, if you're tuning in on Thursday, maybe it's already happened, but it's looking like Evander Kane will be a member of the Edmonton Oilers. I know Ryan Rashog tweeted out something similar, Kevin Weeks saying that it's down to two teams and the Oilers are one of them. I've heard from people that there could be some equipment already been made up for Evander Kane. As a player, do you think he's just that perfect fit to be on the wing of Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl? Like,
yes.
As a player, how good is this going to be?
Every team wants him.
Yeah.
Every team would want Evander Kane as just a hockey player, just the guy on the ice. If you could just literally put him in some room for a while and then just plop him onto the ice, and then you put him back in his like packaging or whatever you want somewhere else and then plop him back on the ice. He's an amazing hockey player. He's what? Probably the best Sharks player last year. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that, you know, he brings the size that this team needs. He brings a scoring touch that this team could also use in that toughness. Without question, there's no doubt that he makes the Oilers a better team on the ice. On the ice, he absolutely does. He makes most teams better. But that's not the only part to a hockey team, and that's the thing there. And so will they start winning some more hockey games? Potentially with Evander Kane in the lineup. You would have to project that would be what would happen, and they would improve. And, you know, you adding another winger, you know, when Zach Hyman comes back healthy, then I think that it does open up Ryan Nugent-Hopkins possibly being a guy that could run his own line and be a third-line center, and that just strengthens your team. But I just you do... With Evander Kane, though, there's everything else.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, counting down to Super Bowl 56. New customers get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer? You can always experience the conference championships with the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win 280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you're the Oilers, how do you handle it? I mean,
I wouldn't sign him. I wouldn't sign him. Straight up, that's how it handles.
Your moral compass is different than the Oilers.
For me, it would be the winning's not as this important. Because you're putting this in for this year. Okay, what if this year goes well? Are you signing him for next year? Are you signing him for another contract? I think a lot of Oilers fans initially would be like, no, of course not. But okay, he comes on and he starts playing well and does well. You're going to be like, yeah, no, you got to keep this going because things are going well. And that's when the trouble comes. It's not in those first 4 months. It's not in those first 3 months or whatever it is. It's when he gets comfortable, then problems come. And so, and I'm not even going to go into, like, I've done it on air and stuff. Yeah. I'm not going to go into everything else that he has because that's a different conversation. And that, you know, how many strikes do you deserve? And to me, I think he's past the strikes for deserving that next shot. I think he has to do a lot more to show and prove that he's ready for another chance. This isn't a second chance. This is a fifth, sixth type chance. And I don't think he's done enough to show that he regrets mistakes from the past or anything like that. So that's where I, why I would stay away from the Edmonton Oilers. But I also go, okay, if I'm just going to relate this to hockey perspectives, so this goes well. What happens? You're going to let him walk this summer?
Nope.
And a lot of people are saying, yeah, of course you do. Okay, well, are you going to be saying that if the Oilers get to a second or a third round? Are you going to be saying, no, absolutely, sign Evander Kane? Or are you going to be going, no, you got what you needed, you move on from him, he pumped up his value? I think most people are going to be going with, no, you absolutely sign him. And then what happens 2-3 years from now, or next season, when the troubles come, and you are stuck with Evander Kane, and it's easy to say, ah, just kick him out. This ain't football. Football, you could cut someone, no problem. You only have to worry about the guaranteed money. NHL, it's a lot more difficult to just kick someone out.
I think he's, and it, I mean, I could be wrong, and, you know, the, I guess the track record of Ken Holland might suggest that he doesn't do one-year deals, because, you know, we've seen it here. But I look at him, and I just think he's insured for the rest of his career. He should only get one-year deals. And that's his own doing, because, yeah, he, like you said, it's when he gets comfortable, bad things happen.
But this league, someone gave a no-trade clause to Georges Laroque, right? Like, there's always
one bad GM up there.
There's always someone there that's going to be like, oh, they're going to give you that? I'm going to give you this. And for Evander Kane, the initial thing for one GM out there, of all the 32, someone will go, I'll give you 2 years.
Yeah.
You're right. He should only be on one-year contracts moving forward. But there's always going to be that one person out there that's going to go, oh, yeah, I'll give you two. And that's the bidding war.
Money
that's
is the
how it
same,
goes.
I'll like, give you two.
In the NBA, for the longest time, like, I think it was Kobe Bryant, like, the only player who had a no-trade clause. In the NHL, everyone gets a no-trade. Mikko Koskinen has a no-trade clause, right? Like, it's just, there's always some ways that the GMs find a way to handcuff themselves, and they'll do that with Evander Kane. Whether it's Edmonton or somewhere else for the offseason coming up. I don't expect him to sign more than a one-year with the Oilers.
Like, oh, yeah.
If we're hearing it's a two-year deal or something, oh, boy.
Six-year deal, 6x6, no movement clause. That would be bad, and it would be really bad if that's what it took to get him, and the Oilers went for it, but... we shall see. Now, let's just say it happens. Is he a McDavid winger or is he Drysdale? Where would you pencil him in?
Well, there's something with like that McDavid and Nuge don't always. Actually, could you go McDavid with Drysdale and Nuge with
Kane and Hyman or something? I mean, you could.
Would you absolutely load up your top six with even and then you know pull Yarvi on that top line? Or would you throw Nuge on to the third line, Leon centers? At that point, it doesn't matter, Hyman or Kane. I would rather have Kane, I think, McDavid. I'd like that little extra size with someone. Because Leon is a guy that can take care of himself a little bit more, obviously. I would like that other presence on the line for McDavid, just as a little extra, like, hey, you're going to touch with this guy, you got to deal with this guy too type thing. Like, why would people like Zach Cassian up there or something? But, yeah, would you center have... Ryan Nugent Hopkins center Evander Kane, even though.
I asked Gregor and Strutty, and I think Gregor went McDavid, and Strutty went Drysdale. So I was like, okay, these guys both have different opinions, both think it could work with the other guy.
People love seeing McDavid with Drysdale together.
I mean,
and is that a way that it opens up, where then all of a sudden you have Hyman and Kane and Nuge as a second line potential?
What if you did McDavid, Dry, and Kane with Nuge, Pliarvi, and Hyman as your second line?
Sure. Right? Like, it's, if they're healthy, like, that's one way because we know how good McDavid and Drysdale are together. So it's one of the things I love about Rodney Hopkins, back to that conversation, is he brings you ability to move things around so much.
Yeah.
Because you could play him as a second line center if you have enough wingers. You could throw him on the third line as a center, or he could play your wing. And it gives Dave Tippett or whoever the coach is all the options that they need.
Let me throw another wrinkle in there. What if Dylan Holloway progresses? He had 2 points, or sorry, 3 points.
Third liner to start.
So you put him in the third line? Like,
I ain't putting him in the top six yet.
All of a sudden, the Oilers' front end looks a whole lot better. Right, offensively, it's not going to help.
And this is where I'll go back to Evander Kane. It sounds so good, but then are you extending him for next year? How could you just walk away from that going into next year? How could you just walk away? Everyone's talking about how great this is going to look, and then you just walk away.
I don't think they do. If it works,
that's the thing.
There's an extension.
Okay.
If I'm Ken Holland, it's 1 year, but I have no confidence that he does that.
But still, even if it's that 1 year, he's here longer, so it's a better chance that he's going to do something that's going to mess up. And, you know, this year never was Stanley Cup for me. Next year, the year after that, those are the years you're kind of looking, okay, go for the Stanley Cup. So now you're going to be sidetracked one of the years potentially because of Evander Kane. I'm not taking that risk.
Who's the most boring Oiler? Is it Connor McDavid?
Boring?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't show a personality on air. Nuge is right there too.
Boring / responsible.
Well,
and that person
know.
Should be assigned to babysit Evander Kane. Like, no, we're not going out tonight. No, not going to the casino. No, we're not going.
There's
out
been
dinner.
An issue on three different teams, including the Winnipeg Jets.
Winnipeg's a wild
and
town,
Buffalo. Winnipeg and Buffalo. Like, if this guy can get in trouble in Winnipeg and Buffalo, he could absolutely get in trouble at Edmonton. They're all in the same similar category.
Yeah, the armpit of the United States, Buffalo, as Streddy would call it. I don't know.
I don't like it. I'll stand by you.
It's going to make kind of a sideshow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of me enjoys it. Part of me likes to see Oilers Nation lose their minds. But I guess at the same time, it's like, it doesn't look good for the Oilers. We shall wait and see what happens. I'm hearing it's pretty close to done, and I've got the number already from what I've heard. Should I tell?
Are you
people?
Allowed to say?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it right now. Whatever. Think Magnus Pjärvi. And that's what I've heard.
I don't even remember.
Think Sergei Fedorov.
Okay.
If that's it, that's what I've heard. I don't know if it's going to actually happen, but that's the reports. Matt, before we let you go here, you've got the Talkin' Sock podcast out now. World Cup qualifiers continuing for Canada tomorrow night or Thursday night. 6 o'clock Honduras, mm-hmm. and then on Sunday you've got the United States, and mm-hmm. then on next Wednesday El Salvador.
Yeah,
what's going to happen? Is Canada going to the World Cup?
This is going to be the big window for that. Well, they're sitting atop of the table, but you've got six matches, and you've already finished Mexico. You only have one more match against the U.S. It's at home. The biggest obstacle they still have to overcome is going to Central America. It's always hard to go on the road to Central America and take points. But in this window with Honduras and El Salvador, they're the teams right at the bottom of the table. That these are winnable games, even though there's no Alfonso Davies. It's weird to say that they have the talent to overcome that for a short period of time.
Yeah.
He changes the game. He's like Connor McDavid. He gets on the pitch and he could turn a game around when you need. So that they're going to miss that, but they've got other guys like Jonathan David, Tejon Buchanan. They've got a lot of players. The bigger miss, I think, for me for early is in midfield, Stefan Eustachio. But, you know, you look at the team that the two teams you're really looking at are Panama, Costa Rica. They play each other tomorrow as well. Panama's dealing with a lot of COVID situations. In this window, they got Mexico. They still have to take on the U.S. Costa Rica also has to take on the U.S. and Mexico in the remaining matches. There's a lot of points to be lost by those countries. And all Canada has to do, like, if they can go take a win at either Honduras or El Salvador, draw the other one at worst. You know, grab 4 points, and then if you could draw against the U.S. on Sunday, 5 points at a worst case for this window. They've virtually punched their ticket. I will say that. Their magic number is 17 to go, 12 for a playoff. It's looking really good, but, you know, complacency can set in. They had a great window here in Edmonton where they took all 6 points. Sometimes you get a little higher in self and you could easily falter. So we'll see what happens in Honduras. The last time they were in Honduras for a big match, or like, it wasn't the last time, but 2012, they lost 8-1. They needed a draw and they would have moved on to the next round and they lost 8-1. So, there's some skeletons they need to take out of their closet in this one, and we'll see if they can do it tomorrow. So I'm beyond excited about it, but geez, this team keeps impressing me. And anytime you think, here's an obstacle, they find a way to overcome it. So I'm thinking good things in this window. And yeah, like there's an outside chance mathematically they could actually clinch World Cup berth in this one. That's probably not likely, but they could put themselves in a spot where it's virtually over.
Currently 1 point up on the States, first place in the standings right now. One last question, John Herdman. Do we got to start giving him more credit? I think people were skeptical when he made
the
transition.
I was skeptical of him. I didn't trust him at all. And one, the players absolutely love him. I've talked with a few of them, and they just absolutely love playing for John Herdman, what he's done with that group. He's actually turned into a great manager. That my fear now is, after this World Cup, who's taking him? Like, when jobs start opening up at lower levels in Europe or something, like, not obviously like Manchester United or things like that, you have to start wondering, like, the world's going to be watching John Herdman. This is a guy's clubs should actually be looking at, and how are we going to replace John Herdman? This guy deserves a massive amount of credit.
Yeah, I still remember when he was announced as the men's coach, and I'm like, okay, that's going to be interesting, or manager.
He never managed men's side before, and Jeez. I should have done it sooner.
He's probably just like, it's just soccer, whatever. He figured it out. Talk and Sock, iTunes?
All, any podcast place.
Spotify?
iTunes, Spotify.
iHeart,
Google.
Google.
At Talk and Sock on Twitter.
Sweet. Well,
all there.
Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate you doing this today.
Anytime.
There you go. Matthew Iwanek of TSN 1260, the host of the Dave Jamieson Show right now, filling in for JMO. You can hear that on TSN 1260 Monday through Friday from noon until 2. Give him a follow on Twitter at Matthew Iwanek, and make sure to check out his new podcast, Talkin' Sock, the Canadian men's national team doing some great things. Of course, back in action on Thursday evening for the Edmonton Oilers. Off on Wednesday, they're back in action Thursday night. They'll take on the Nashville Predators. Puck drop 7 o'clock for pregame coverage. Tune into TSN 1260. I'll be along with Tom Gazzola and former NHLer Matt Cassian. Like I said, 6 o'clock on TSN 1260. That's going to do it for another edition of the Other Connor Podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. Once again, big shout out to our sponsor, DraftKings. If you're going to sign up today, make sure to use promo code THPN. You can have a lot of fun doing that. Do so responsibly. And we will talk to you next time on the show. We'll recap the game on Thursday night, see how things go for the Edmonton Oilers, and preview Saturday's game against the Montreal Canadiens. I'm Connor Halley. Give me a follow on Twitter at Connor Halley. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Other Connor Podcast. New shows drop every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts from.